At the end of Perek Mem Beis, that Yirmiyah told them, he waited for the Nebuah, he got the Nebuah on Yom Kippur, and he told all of them, do not go down to Mitzrayim. Whatever you do, don't go down to Mitzrayim. So at first, the people were all ready to listen, but because it either took them a long time to get the Nebuah, or because they already had their mind set and were just waiting for confirmation from Yirmiyah, they said to themselves, no, we're not staying in Eretz Yisrael. No matter what happens, we're not staying in Eretz Yisrael.
Maybe because it wouldn't be a very interesting story if you listened.
Well, there's not much of a story this way either. It's just more like they died.
And they listened.
Not
by Yirmiyah. I don't think Yirmiyah ever had it.
No, when did it ever happen?
Yirmiyah. What do you mean?
Moshe. Moshe. They did it like once. The
Mishkan. Yeshua. At the beginning of Shoftim, Pinchas tells them, guys, you have to do better. And everybody's like, okay, we're done. And they do better for a little bit. All the Shoftim, each time, whenever they got up, they always made everybody do tshuva. So you do have it. The problem is we're dealing with Yirmiyah and we're forgetting. We're just forgetting what the world is like because Yirmiyah was so bad. Yirmiyah's time was so bad. After Yirmiyah had finished speaking to the people, the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their God, Hashem Shlach Hashem Elokeim, that God, their God, had sent him, Elohim, to them, as called Rene Ela, and he spoke all of these words. When he had finished speaking to them, and Yochanan ben Kareach, as well as all of the brazen people, these are the mazed people, meaning the guys who are really against everything. You're speaking lies. Our God did not send you, saying that we shouldn't go to Mitzrayim to live there.
He just told them that Bezni got destroyed. Bezni got destroyed. You're all going to be sent to Babel. Everybody got sent to Babel.
And they all said, you are our Navi. We believe in you. Tell us what to do. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Or was it just like basically their attitude was like?
They couldn't believe that after all the tragedy and all the destruction there, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still wanted them to be in Eretz Yisrael in peace and security. It makes no sense to them. He said, if it doesn't make any sense, listen, we were saying to you, we were going up to you because we wanted to make sure that you were agreeing with us that we should go down to Mitzrayim. Now you're telling us to stay in Eretz Yisrael. You've been telling us the whole time to defect to the Babylonians. Go to the Babylonians. Give it up. You're not going to live here, etc. Now you're telling us to stay in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't make any sense to us. They could not believe it. So I don't know if they actually said the words Kishekar to Dover. I'm sure there were some people that said it. But did Yochanan ben Kareach, did Azariah ben Hoshea, you know, the big people, did they say it? I don't know. Baruch ben Neriah is already seducing you, Banu, about us. Lamentate is going to be at a cost and say we could be put into the hands of the Chaldeans. Lamentate is under the Hagel's son of Babel in order to kill us and to bring us into the exile of Babel. So the Mitzvah David says it appears that Baruch ben Neriah had already voiced his opinion and told them you should probably go down to Egypt. He had already said it before Yirmiyah said it. Now that Yirmiyah was saying words that were identical to what Baruch ben Neriah was saying, Baruch ben Neriah's own students, they realized, Baruch ben Neriah said, yeah, don't go down to Egypt. It doesn't make any sense. Stay in Eretz Yisrael. Once Yirmiyah said that, they realize it's that. Yehuda did not listen. Yochanan ben Kareach, and I guess he was the most at fault, as well as all the officers of Yehuda, all the armies, and all the people, to the voice of Hashem to stay in the land of Yehuda. He took all of the remnant of Yehuda, all of those that had remained from the other nations, or Nidchusham, that were pushed off there, the Gurbar to Yehuda, that had gone to live in the land of Yehuda. The men, the women, the children, and the daughters of the king, who, as we said last week, it seems that the daughters of the king were still alive and lived in near Yerushalayim. It's called and all the people. Then it was Aradan, the chief butcher, you know, the executioner, had left alone. Es Gedai ben Achikam with Gedai ben Achikam ben Shaphan, with Yirmiyah and Avi, and with Yirmiyah and Avi, as Baruch ben Neriah. They have Eretz Mitzrayim, and they brought them there. They didn't listen to the call of Hashem, and they came to the city called Tachpanches. Now stop right there. There's a shiloh what happened to Yirmiyah and Baruch ben Neriah at this time. Did they go with them to Mitzrayim? So the raya would be that it says they took all these people and, you know, Yirmiyah and Avi as Baruch ben Neriah. But on the other hand, it also says that they took Gedaliah ben Achikam, and clearly Gedaliah ben Achikam didn't come. So it seems that when it says as Yirmiyah and Avi as Baruch ben Neriah, exactly. And now the question is, what's the S Yirmiyah? Does it mean and with Yirmiyah? Or does it mean and they also took Yirmiyah? Is that like a parenthesis or whatever? So that's the kasha. Did Yirmiyah and Baruch go with them? If they did go with them, then that means that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that they should all stay in Eretz Yisrael, there was no point to keeping Yirmiyah and Baruch by themselves in Eretz Yisrael if their whole job is to help people do better and get better things, etc. So therefore, even though Yirmiyah and Baruch told them, don't go, they went.
Real estate,
yeah, I know, seriously, he just lost a lot of money. So that's the question, okay? It's possible also that he picked up more people along the way as they were going down. They went to Be'er Sheva, they went to Kepher Rachel, they went to all the other places, picking up more people as they went along, right, strengthening their community when they went down to Mitzrayim itself. The Das Sofrim does say that there are those that say that they were forcibly brought down to Egypt. There are others that say that it would, you know, they went willingly down. Others say that Baruch Ben Neriah then left and went to Bavel, and that Bavel, you know, Baruch Ben Neriah ended up going, and he definitely became the Rebbe of Ezra Sofer. There's no question about that. The question was he still with Yirmiyah at the end, or was he not? Now, we have no information past this point historically. Meaning, we know that the Jews in Egypt were destroyed, but we don't know what happened to Yirmiyah. Where did Yirmiyah go after this? Where did Baruch Ben Neriah go after this? I don't remember. I don't know. I have no idea. By the way, that's that. The word of Hashem came to Yirmiyah in Sach Pan Ches. Now, here's another thing. Some say that it's literally in Sach Pan Ches. Others say it was about Sach Pan Ches. Take in your hands large stones, and using mortar, I want you to be able to bury them in the brickwork by the house of the base of the house of Paro, by the door of the house of Paro in Sach Pan Ches, in front of the eyes of the men of Yehuda. Okay, now Sach Pan Ches was not the seat of the royal palace. That's not where they were, right? Obviously, we know that Mitzrayim was the name of the city that they all lived in by the Nile River and whatever it was. But apparently, there was a vacation home of Paro in that area, and that's where the Jews were, right? So that's where they ended up going. Apparently, Yirmiyah also, if he did go down there, was shown a lot of honor. And the ability for him to do this, even right then, was a tremendous honor. The Egyptians showed him a tremendous amount of honor when he was down there. But you should say to them, I'm sending and I'm bringing Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, my servant. I'm going to place his throne right above these stones, that I've hidden right over here. He will spread his pavilion right upon them. In other words, he's going to knock down this palace of the Paro that's in charge, and Nebuchadnezzar is going to take over, and he's going to live right here. Scary thing to say in another land. He's going to come and destroy the land of Mitzrayim. Those who die will die. Those who we want to take captive will take captive. Those who are fated to die by the sword, they're going to die by the sword. Whatever is supposed to be for them, everybody will die. I'm going to raise a fire in the house of the idols of Egypt to shrub them and burn them, and then what's going to happen, I'm going to fold up, right, the land of Mitzrayim, because Yata Aroa is big, though, the same way the Aroa shepherd holds up his clothing, and I'm going to make everyone depart the land in peace altogether. The Radak says the comparison to the shepherd is like this. When the shepherd decides to shift his grazing of the sheep, all he has to do is he just wraps his cloak around him, and then he gets up a couple minutes later. In other words, there's no time. In other words, there's nothing he needs to do. There's no, like, real house or, you know, stuff that he has or whatever it is. A shepherd has, at most, the cloak around him, his flute, and that's about it. He just gets up, and he goes, and that's that. So Egypt will be emptied of its greatness in a second. It'll be as if they're there, and then they're gone. V'shibaras matzos Beit Shemesh, they will shatter the monuments of the house of the sun. It's not Beit Shemesh like it is in Eretz Yisrael. Beit Shemesh is, they worship the sun god in Egypt. Beit Shemesh is Mitzrayim. What do you got?
Beit Shemesh also could be a name of a city in Mitzrayim. I just read a story that somebody went to a Kanyevsky and he said, so he asked him, where do you live? So he said, Beit Shemesh. This is the guy of the story.
Yeah.
I was like, which one? He's like, the one here, right here, like near Shalai, whatever it is. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he was like bothered by it the whole time. He's like, why did he ask me which one? So he wrote him a letter. He's like, you know, I was by the Rav, and he said, which Beit Shemesh? So he sent him a letter. He's like, look in Yirmiyah Mem.
No way. Really?
Absolutely.
No.
He sent it up, and he's like, oh, apparently there's Beit Shemesh Mitzrayim as well.
But why would he ask a Jew from Beit Shemesh and says to them which one? That's a Pella. The Rav Chaim is not assuming that it's Beit Shemesh in Yerushalayim.
Right.
Especially, you don't waste your words like that. That's a Pella.
He was
beyond a Pella.
He saying that he came from Beit Shemesh, so he was wondering if he was like an Egyptian Jew from Beit Shemesh.
That's interesting. That is really interesting.
I'm trying to remember.
But either way, that I don't think that's shot. Look in your Mephorsha really quickly. Is there anyone that says that it's a city?
Even
I literally read this
week. Bill, but does it say anywhere in your Mephorsha that it says that there's Beit Shemesh anywhere? I mean, well,
I'm calling it the pillars of the city.
Yeah, I mean, what it says is Bate Elohim Mitzrayim Yisro Ba'esh in the house of the the Gaza Mitzrayim is going to burn in the fire. You should know there was, after the Ashur had defeated King Sanherib in the days of Chizkiyahu, so the Me'amloes brings down that there was a form of worship that came up in Mitzrayim that consisted of idolatry and Judaism that was based on the sun. It was like a compound religion where they went ahead and they worshipped God, but through the sun. And that's how they got it. And that's where there's sun gods, the Chamanim that we've mentioned before.
Yeah,
the sun
gods
that we have. Nobody says it as a city.
Like Ra?
Like Amun Ra or whatever it is. Yeah, that's a different issue. Ra is the god, right?
Right, sun god.
I don't know. I have absolutely no idea, but somehow it's a combination of both. What do you got over there?
Sun ray.
Anything?
What do you got?
Musafashi.
It's a city. Yonason says it's an actual city. He does say, "Mir v'osah shir mishinim v'kaf manches shir is matev v'beit shemesh shir v'artiyuda." The manu shivet shemesh v'artiyuda is matev v'atzidu v'chariv. Yishom shalosh v'beit shemesh yoshav is bigvul mitzrayim al sapar. It's a gvula. Maybe it was right by the borders, and that's why he called it that way, and that's where it was. That is so strange. No, but that's really, really strange. Why would it call it that way? Yeah, I mean, Kamas Beis Shemesh. That's how it's mentioned by Targum Yonasan. So apparently it might be a real city. That is strange. All right, Perk Mem Dalet. Hadover Shol Yirim Yirio Al Kol Yehudim HaYoshim Beretz Yisrael. This is the word that came, and again, it's a harsh prophecy about the Jews that were living in Mitzrayim HaYoshim Migdol. They were living in the city of Migdol, Sach Tanches, Nof, Uberetz Pasros, the land of Pasros. So, Kol Meshem Tzvokos Al Kei Yisrael HaYisrael is called Rosh HaYisrael Yishalayim. You guys saw all the evil that upon Yerushalayim, meaning you yourselves, right? Yaakor Yudin, all the cities, Yudavinem, Chorba Yomazeb, Imbam Yoshez. You see that they're all destroyed. There's nobody left inside. They're uninhabited.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Going to Mitzrayim was not even close to related to the actual prophecy Yirmiyah got, right? Like, he never mentioned at any point in time that anybody's going to end up in Mitzrayim.
No, because this was their decision after Gedaliah was killed. That's it.
So it's not, I mean,
only afterward. This is his last prophecy. The last ones that we know about.
So it's not so crazy that they called him Sheker before. I mean, this has nothing to do with anything.
You see that thing with what?
Which one?
Going to Mitzrayim.
No, granted. But they wanted to get away from Babel. They didn't want to stay in Eretz Yisrael because of what happened to Gedaliah, so they wanted to go down to Mitzrayim. That's the only reason why. And now he's yelling at them. And now comes the worst part. Okay, so what do we have over here? Because they're evil, which they did to anger me. They went to go burn and to serve the other gods. This is what the Jews did when they went down to Mitzrayim. I shall you the Heima, Atem Babel, gods that you did not know. No, neither you nor your fathers. It doesn't seem that they actually worshipped Avodah Zarah, says the Me'amloes, but rather it refers to these forces of nature and angels and other things that he got involved with over there. Let's call up Adai Nevi'im. I sent you all of my servants and Nevi'im, Hashkem Shaloch, early morning and evening, Lamor, Al Nosa. Do not do this abomination that I hate. They didn't listen. They didn't turn their ears to turn away from their evil, to not burn incense to those other gods. My anger and my wrath was burned. Went against the cities of Yehuda, the streets of Yerushalayim. It was all completely ruined and destroyed. That's all. Why are you doing this evil to your souls? That you're getting rid of all the men and the women, little child and kids, right from Yehuda, to not allow anything left. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this evil by going down in the Mitzrayim and allowing everybody to be killed? You're angering me with your handiwork. You're burning incense to other gods. That you came to live there. So that you could be cut off completely, and so that you'll be a curse and a disgrace among all the nations of the land. Did you forget all the evils that your father did, and all the evils of the kings of Yehuda, and all the evils of his wives, and all of your evils? I mean, I guess this is referring to the kings of Yehuda, what their wives did, and all of your evil, and your wives, throughout Yehuda and the streets of Yerushalayim. Didn't you realize what ended up happening? It could be that the sperm of Malachim that was written by Yirmiyah were already widespread throughout the Jews. Remember, Malachim was written by Yirmiyah. So if you wrote Malachim Aleph, Malachim Beis, so it could be that it was already widespread, so everybody knew what was happening throughout all the kings for the last couple times. I'm sorry? If I remember correctly, Malachim Aleph and Beis is both written by Yirmiyah. That's what the Gemara in Bava Basra says.
But it was compiled, I
would assume so, because we will keep remember throughout Malachim it says Sifrei Divrei Yamin Lamalchi Yehuda. Remember we kept seeing that? And the Divrei Yamin Lamalchi Yisrael. So I'm sure he was pulling it out from there. Side note, very quickly. It is interesting though, because if you remember, all of Malachim is sort of like at a snail's pace until the last four or five kings, which is like three or four prakim, and like the quickest thing in the world. It makes sense though if Yirmiyah would have written it, because he's like, I've got other svarim about this, right? What was going on at the time? I've got svarim to talk about it elsewhere, so you don't have to worry about that.
I'm saying it would seem that if there's a significant portion of people that are against Yirmiyah, they probably didn't agree with Malachim Aleph Beis.
But the people that were left in Eretz Yisrael, you know, the very, very remnants might have.
So
the poor people, whatever it was, the Sarim would not have accepted it. The poorer people, the ones that were, you know, those people would be the first to accept them. Those are the people that are left in Eretz Yisrael. Who knows? We don't know. I mean, what Yochanan ben Kareach knew, we don't know about guys like him. Pasuk Yud, Lo Duku Adi Yom Hazeh. They are not humbled until this day. In other words, referring to the people. The Lo Yoru V'lo Holku B'Torasi, they still are not afraid. They still don't go on my Torah B'Kukos and my laws that I gave in front of them, in front of their followers, in front of their your fathers. So here's what God says. I am going to put my face upon you for evil, and I am going to cut down all of Yehuda. I'm going to take, or I will take, the remnants of Yehuda that have put themselves, that have made their goal to go to Eretz Yisrael, to live there. Some will call Barisan, everybody will be destroyed in the land of Mitzrayim. Yipolu b'cher, they will fall on the sword, by the sword. Barov yitamu, and they will be killed by hunger. Mikas ma'agadol, from small until big. B'cher v'barov yamusu, they will die by the sword and by hunger. Yamusu the hayuva alu l'shamu l'klolu l'kerpam. They're going to be oats and destruction, etc. It says pasuk yigimol v'katzi al yoshim Barisan kashu v'katzi al yishalayim b'cher v'barov adaver. The same way that I killed Yerushalayim with hunger and sword fare and plagues, so too I'm going to do the land of Mitzrayim. That's what's going to happen to people in Mitzrayim. But here, it'll be different. There will be not a single remnant of those that went down to Mitzrayim to go back to the land of Yehuda. They claim that they're always going to go back there. Don't worry, when it's ready, we'll go back to the land of Yehuda. You won't. You're not going to come back. Right? Maybe a refugee or two. So I guess somebody will survive. So they answered Yirmiyah. All the men that knew that their wives were burning incense, lehim acherim, to the other gods. So they knew, right? And all the women who were standing over there is a huge, you know, huge group. And all the people that were in Pasros, they all said back to Yirmiyah, that word that you're saying in the name of God, we ain't listening to you. We're not listening to you.
Would they already find these?
It's crazy. Can you imagine that pasuk?
They found wives who were worshiping false gods. Were these Egyptian women, or were these women that were with them?
Yeah, they were Jewish women. Listen, we don't know, obviously. It could have been they married into the Egyptians the same way the people in Babylonia did. But it seems to have been rather quick, quickly after they had gone down to Mitzrayim.
But like, we've gotten wives now. We've gotten wives and everything.
It doesn't seem they had time to marry yet. It does seem that it's referring to the Jewish woman. But who knows? We don't have a timeline over here. Maybe it's a year later, maybe it's 2 years later, maybe it's 5 years later. I don't know. Either way, but it said, we're not going to listen to you. We are going to do as we said, to burn incense to the queens of the heavens, and to give it wine libations, like we and our fathers have done, our kings and our officers, in the streets of Yehuda, and we will be satisfied with bread. Right? We've been fine since we've been doing this here in Mitzrayim. Bnei Tovim will be good. We're not going to see anything evil. Pretty crazy, right?
I don't understand, but they just all saw evil in Yehuda.
That's not why it happened. They didn't follow these gods. Had they followed these gods the way we're doing right now, then they would have peace the way that we have peace.
Maybe they went to Mitzrayim and they had been there for a while because things were good for them.
Sounds like it. They've been there for a little bit. But who knows? You know, it's been good for a month. You'd still say this line. See, it's been good for a month. we've been worshiping the sun gods and we've been worshiping these gods and things have been really good. It doesn't have to be they were there for 5 years.
No, right.
You know, they were there for a little bit.
So much
it's been pretty good.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, like it's peaceful. I mean, us, down to Lakatum Lechas Hashemayim, right from the time that we would stop burning incense to the Queen of the Heavens, possibly when I saw him giving it the wine libations, that's why we were lacking everything and why we died by the sword and by hunger. It's because we weren't worshiping these gods. Had we only done this beforehand, everything would have been okay. But clearly things are okay right now, and that's the reason why we're fine. So Yirmiyah, get out of here over here. Now, the Malbim adds, not all the women burned incense to idols. Not all the men knew of their wives' actions and agreed with them. But there were definitely people who defended their wives, and there were women who definitely defended their own practices. That's what we're referring to over here.
Only the women were worshiping. Seems like in the beginning, like the women would, the men had taken women were worshiping, but now the men are saying that we're worshiping the idols.
They themselves, or they're allowing them to?
Wasn't there a culture of women doing that stuff anyways, especially in Egypt? Like you have
always the women. So.
Right, but at the same time, the reason
agree.
Why it was they were married Egypt, that proved that they married Egyptian women
because
it was
people
the women
that were
involved. No, well, the women were doing it already and then they started doing it with them. They're like, oh, this is pretty good.
Yeah, it could be that the woman got to know the Egyptian woman well enough. It is interesting. You know, we said before that that Sach Panches was a place where the king, you know, had a palace. So it could be that the Egyptians were more in charge there and that they were more involved with all the different things. But it is interesting because this is in Pasros. We don't know anything about Pasros. Anyway, when we burn incense to the Queen of the Heavens and give it libations. So we say, did we alone make cakes in order to do it without our husbands? And others, a woman, were just saying, you should know, by the way, we have a full support from our husbands. It's not like our husbands don't know about it. Our husbands did everything with us. So Yirmiyahu said to the people, the men, the women, all the people that were answering him, and he told them the following. Now he realized that the women were not going to hear the harsh language. Okay, women can't take that harsh language. Before it was Daber, or it was Vayidaber. Here it's Vayomer. He spoke to them softly and he said, all right, you know what? I've been doing this for 25 years and it hasn't been going well. I'm going to switch tactics, okay? I'm going to go a little bit milder and a little bit nicer, said Yirmiyahu. You should know that incense that you burn in the streets of in the cities of Judah and the streets of Yerushalayim, you, your fathers, your kings, right, your, you know, the officers and all the people of the land, God remembers all of it. He remembers all of it. It's all up in his heart. It's ki'ilu like he's smelling it every single day. He can no longer handle all the evil of what you have done because it was so abominable. Because of that, your land was destroyed from that. There's nobody that lives there. Because you burned that incense, because you sinned to God, you didn't go into his edus and everything like that. And you should know that's why this evil has happened to you. It's because of all this. Listen to the word of God, all of you that's living in the land of time. This is what he says, you, your wives, right, all of you, right, you both spoke with your mouths, right? Ubi defamil leitzim, you filled it with your hands. In other words, you completed it with your hands. Lamor, asonet sended to Reynosh and are down to the Katan Lech Shemayim. We are going to fulfill our oaths to burn to the queens of the heavens. Lasakum and Asakum to give the wine libations. Hakim takim nes nidrechem. Okay, listen. All right, go ahead and fulfill your vows. And fulfill all the things that you promised to do. When you do that, so says the word of God. I'm swearing in my great name. Right, no longer will my name be mentioned by anybody who lives in the land of Mitzrayim, saying, I swear by the name of God. Right now, you might think that there's some type of combination where you believe in God, but you're sacrificing to the queens of the heavens and whatever. Whatever it is in the stars and whatever it is. You might think that now. It's not going to happen. I'm going to be watching over them for evil. No good will end up coming. You will all die. Those who are in Eretz Yisrael. Even when he's trying to be nice to them, it's a little bit, until they're totally gone. Those who remain from the sword, the remnants from the sword, they will return from the land of time, Eretz Yehuda, to the land of Yehuda. May same be very few enough. Then those who come to the land of Mitzrayim to live there, they'll know whose word is going to be established. Mine or theirs. You'll see what ends up happening, right? And that's the idea behind it, and that's the line. As a side note over here, you notice the line of HaKadosh Baruch Hu getting involved with them. The Miyamalis mentions over here that there is Hashkaka Pratis that's being given to everybody over here. And everybody is going to be paid attention to in this idea. Everyone, if you choose right or wrong. Here's the sign, says God.
But people have done wrong because they're in Egypt against
you'd assume, yeah. But maybe, like Yirmiyah, you could still do good while you're down there.
But Yirmiyah went as they were going
maybe
down
one or two people also went that way, you know, to be able to help or to be able to do. Who knows? We don't know. Maybe there were a couple people who said, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to stay in Eretz Yisrael by myself? What do I do? So that was the idea. Here's the sign, says God, that I have decided to, in this place, to kill you. And you will know that, you know, my word in regard to doing all this evil is going to stand and it's all going to happen. So here's what's going to happen over here. Here's what God says. Paro Kofra, who may be Paro Necho. I don't know if it's the same Paro as was mentioned up above or not. I'm not so sure. But whoever it is, that Paro who's in charge of Mitzrayim, he will be given over to the hands of his enemies. Will be Ad Mavakshi and Ashwan to the hands of those who want his soul. Just like Tzidkio was given to the hands of Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Bava, Oivo, his enemy, Mavakshi and Ashwan, the one who really wanted him. If that happens, when you see Paro Kofra being given over to the hands of Nebuchadrezzar, you're dead. That's what's going to happen. You'll know that I'm right, and every single one of you is going to die. When that happens, you'll know that's the sign. That's the sign that's going to be.
What is the purpose of the sign if they're going to be dead?
Not yet.
No, if they saw that, would they have another chance?
No. Otherwise, the sign is just to show that the Nebuah was true. That all Nebuah gets signed.
Not yet. Know it before they're dead.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying, but knowing before you're dead that the Nebuah is right doesn't help anything. And how they
should... Maybe right. Maybe it's for Tshuva right before they're dead in their life. And we answered that before also. Nehemiah really said it much earlier where it's possible it's for us. There's some message for us to learn from it where we see certain signs we can look at and say, you know what?
If Yirmiyah is here, I'm going to listen to him.
No, you're right. No, you wouldn't.
I mean, I'm about to do it right, but I'm going to be like, he's right. And we're all going to die.
We know it.
Lessons of history.
Maybe. We don't often. It's sad. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. It's very difficult. Like, I'm being serious when I say this. I'm not joking around. Like, what if, right, the Nevuah that's given for our times is we got to get rid of the internet? You're going to be able to do that.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. I'm not saying that that's whatever. Well, I'm just saying.
You said if there was a person that said, got up and said, you have to get rid of the internet, I wouldn't say you're wrong. I would just say, like, how? How do you do that?
Right, but you continue doing it.
Oh, yeah. But I'm just saying, I would still agree that you're wrong. I'm not disagreeing that you're more knowledgeable
than that. That could be exactly what they're doing. Again, I'm giving you as an example. But, like, it makes sense. But
I understand that I'm probably going to die and I'm probably going to go to hell. I just don't understand. I agree that like you're right and I'm wrong. I just don't know how to get out of it.
You're helping me understand the mindset of the people that are now in Egypt.
I don't know how to get out of it.
It helps. Perek Menhei, the last Nebuah before we go into all the other nations. Now, we don't know what happens next, but this is the last Nebuah that Yirmiyah had with Baruch Ben Neria. Chronologically, this seems to be his last Nebuah of all time. This word was given over to from Yirmiyah to Baruch Ben Neria. The cusp was the Divine Elo when he wrote these words down. I'll say for in the Sefer Mipi Yirmiyahu, from the mouth of Yirmiyahu. B'shana Ravi is Lil Yakim Ben Yoshia Melech Yehuda Lamor. In the fourth year of Lil Yakim, the king of Yoshia. I don't know if this is referring to then, and he didn't say it over here. I kind of thought that it was right since Baruch had written that Sefer, and that was Echa. Remember, he had written Echa over there. It seems like since that over there, to show you that, you know, what's going on right now. Like, this is when it first started, and then it's continuing. Now, what started? Kol Hashem Elokei Yisrael Lach Baruch. This is what God says to you, Baruch. Amarta oina li. You said, woe is to me, ki Yosef Hashem yagano machovi. God has added grief to all of my pain. Yagati ban chosi umenuchu lo matzosi. I groaned, I called out loud, I'm weary. Umenuchu lo, I've never been able to find rest. The pshat is, and the Medrash tells us, Baruch Ben Neria was complaining that he could not receive Nevuah. He was trying as hard as he possibly could, and he could not get it. And he doesn't understand. I'm your Talmud, and your Talmud Muvok, he said to Yirmiyah. I've done everything with you. I can't understand why I'm starting to, you know, to not get, or he wasn't getting a Nebuah the same way that he once was. And he said, I don't get it. Eliyahu et Elisha, right? And Yeshua served Moshe Rabbeinu. So what am I? Am I like Gehazi, that I'm not going to merit to receive prophecy myself? It was just too hard for him, right? And that's the idea, that he was pining over the fact that he was never going to be as great or to be able to have this. Writing down Yirmiyahu's words is one thing, and to write down that prophecy was given over through Echa is one thing, but he just felt so terrible that he wasn't able to get it. So
but he did have prophecy.
Love.
What? He did have prophecy in the past.
Yeah, there was something, because Baruch Neri is mentioned among the names. It must be that it was just difficult.
But I'm saying,
more difficult
got it,
than it
and then
was.
He lost it, so I don't know, is that worse? It's not like he didn't get
maybe.
It.
Yeah, I would think so, right?
He did reach the level.
Yeah.
His pain was because he didn't get prophecy. He doesn't say what his pain was.
Oh, no, that's the Medrash. The Medrash quotes that's what it was referring to, that he complained at the lack of Nebuah. And that's that. And that was his line. Why am I not like the other disciples? So, Kotamari love. This is what you should say to him. Kol Narsham, here's what God says. In Asher Benisi Ani Ores. That whichever I built, I will destroy. Asher Natati Ani Otish. Whatever I planted, I will abandon. It's Kol Aratihi, as well as the whole land. You should know, the Shekhinah has started to leave. And since the Shekhinah has started to leave, that is what's making Nebuah so difficult. That's the reason why you're not able to do it. You're not bad. You're not a bad Talmud.
The Shekhinah
really have everything. But the Shekhinah was not there. Well, because Yirmiyahu was able to prophesy even when in Mitzrayim. So that's why I said it's possible that Yirmiyahu didn't go down with them. God is Nebuah and Erzal, and I have to go down to Mitzrayim in order to say it. If you did get in Mitzrayim, then the reason why that happens is because if you start getting your Nebuah and Erzal, you can continue getting in Mitzrayim.
But Yechezkel's still getting Nebuah.
That's what they all ask, and they say it was because he was right by a river. We'll talk about that in the beginning of Yechezkel. There are three ways to get a Nebuah outside of Eretz Yisrael. One is by water.
I'm not messing with
by water. By water.
But like, if Hashem is removing Nebuah, okay, Yirmiyahu is already grandfathered into the old Nebuah.
Correct.
Right?
Okay.
But Baruch Benari is not getting it, but Yechezkel is getting it.
Yechezkel got it already. Meaning he had already started a while ago.
Prophesized during the Gullus.
During the Gullus. But at the beginning, meaning the Gullus of what's his name? Of Yochid. Remember, he went originally. He was with the Cheresh and the Masker, who
after
went to Babel earlier.
But it's not released to Yoyakim. So this is before Golos Yoyakim.
That's a good call. Yeah. That is a good call. So it would have been difficult for him. It's not like they were the last prophets. Listen, we still had Chag and Zechariah Malachi. Mordechai was said to be a prophet.
God
Esther was a prophet.
Right?
You have Hanani, Mishael,
Valdari. Rashi says.
Yechezkel wrote a huge book called Sefer Yechezkel of all his prophecies. Mm-hmm. There's no Sefer Baruch Ben Neriah.
That's true. But there are of the others, Chag and Zechariah Malachi, Hanani, Mishael, Valdari. But there was Daniel in theory.
But
Ezra Sofer. Oh, I hear what you're saying.
Did you say he wrote Esau?
I'm sorry?
Did you say he wrote Esau?
Yirmiyahu.
Oh, Yirmiyahu wrote it.
Yeah, Yirmiyahu. And Baruch Ben Neriah wrote it down. From the word of Yirmiyahu. Meaning, he wrote it as whatever Yirmiyahu was trying to write.
My question is, how is Yirmiyahu getting Nebuah and trying with
Esau? No, he continued. He went on from what it was. So that would have to be.
It says, if there are no sheep, is there a shepherd, according to Rashi? Baruch Ben Neriah didn't get it because the people didn't deserve it. So the point is that if they
there's nothing there.
To do with it.
Look what it says in Pasuk K. Batzot Tzavakish L'Chagidolos. You want greatness for yourself. Al Tzavakish. Don't ask for it. Ki Yenini may be raw, cold balser. I'm going to bring evil upon all flesh. Numashem. And Asati L'Chaz Napsha Chali Shalol. Akom L'Chazirat Yelok Shalom. I will give your soul as a gift in all places wherever you will go. In other words, that's number one. Number one, it's not time for your personal greatness to be able to work on. The whole world is going down. Right? Everybody here is going to go. But I will tell you that you will be happy that you'll survive. And I'm guaranteeing you, Baruch Ben Neriah, that you're going to survive the entire war, and that's going to be bad. And all the places you'll go is a hint to the fact that he ended up going to Babel. The Gemara says in Megillah Tezayim Aleph that Baruch Ben Neriah did go to Babel, where he fulfilled a position and his greatest Talmud was Ezra Sofer. And that's what it mentions. He's mentioned among the eight people that ended up becoming the big Talmidim there. He's mentioned somewhat through Daniel, and that's that. And that's Baruch Ben Neriah. We're done with that.
So his Talmud was Ezra Sofer.
Correct.
And then they come back.
Yeah, and let's go back to what I said in the beginning of the parashah. It sounds like it's wrong now. I thought that this is the last Nebuah altogether. It's incorrect. It's got to be beforehand because he's promising him that you're going to survive the war. That clearly is a Nebuah that's given to him beforehand. So I'm calling myself out on that. There's no way. It has to be done way earlier.
This must have been just as documented here just because it's kind of like the end of the book.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it isn't really because we still have until Perek Nun Beis, I think. Yeah, Nun Beis is the last Perek. So it isn't really there. But now, the rest of the Sefer is is going to spend where he's speaking to the different nations. The next two parakim are going to be about Egypt, and then we're going to see there's Moab and Ammon. There's a couple others that are going to be around. So let's go. Parak Mem Vav. Ashrayu Dvar Hashem El Yirmiyahu HaNavi El HaGoyim. Now he speaks to the other nations, and the reason, unlike for Bnei Yisrael, this is not a call for tshuva. This is not a call for that whatsoever. That's not the prophet's intention whatsoever. The real reason is to show everybody that Yirmiyah had power. That what he's going to say is to come true, to show everyone that there was a Navi in Klal Yisrael, that Bnei Yisrael is not the lowly nation that they were expected to be. When Mitzrayim, Alchel, Paro, Necho, regarding the armies of Paro, Necho, Melech, Mitzrayim, the king of Israel, now Fros, that was right by the Euphrates River, but Karkamish, in a city called Karkamish, Ashayikin, Buchadretzim, El Abavol, Bishnatz, Revis, Ben Buchadretzim, the king of Babel, had destroyed in the fourth year, Leviathan, Ben Yoshia, Melech, Yehuda, that he had taken of that. So Paro, Necho seems that he, again, it could be Paro Chofro, it could be the exact same person over here. It's possible this is referring to something that would happen 20 years later, right, when he was saying this by the times of Yoyakim. We don't know exactly when this is going to be. Regardless, there is going to be a battle of Karkamish, whenever it happens, and here he's going to tell what's going to happen. They prepared their shields and all the protectors, right, and they drew near for the battle itself. They tied up all the horses, right, or harnessed the horses, and all the cavalry that they mounted. They stood there with all their helmets, and they polished their spears, and they donned all their armor. Why do I see them so frightened? Turning backward. It looks like all their strong men were beaten. They seem to all run away. They don't even look back. They just see fear all around, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu. They just ran away without even trying to defend themselves. It seems like they're scared of something that I can't even see. What he's trying to really say is Mitzrayim was dressed for war. They were like ready to go party, right? But they didn't actually stay at the party. They just left immediately. Don't let the swift people just run away like that. The mighty shouldn't escape like that. Safona, right? By the north, by the river Euphrates, they tripped and they fell, and that was that. And everything was gone. Who is that that rises up as the Nile River, and they bring like a gushes, turbulent streams? In other words, they call forth and are just like, we are a powerful river, like the Egyptian army, like praising themselves, saying how great they were, how they're going to defeat the Babylonian army. We're going to go straight to the Euphrates River, we're going to defeat them, and it's going to be crazy. Mitzrayim Kayor Yala, they came up like the Nile River, these Egyptians, the Kanaharos, these Gawash, they gush like the streams, right, Mayim, with water. But Yomar Allah, Akasa, all right, I'm going to cover up the land, Ovida, hearing, and destroy the city of Yosheba and all the people that live inside it. Rise, all you horses, Visolalu, and let's have a party. Harekav, of all the, or charge, I guess it is, all chariots. V'yetu agiboran Kush, Uput, Tose, Magen, right, so they, let's go forth. All the strong men of Kush and Put, right, they're holding the shields. The Ludim, Tose, Dorchi, Kush, as well as the Ludim, I don't know who those were, but the Ludim are mentioned in the 70 nations that are mentioned in Parshas Noah. They grab the bow and everything like that. I'm sorry?
Is Kush the same?
You'd assume it's referring to Kush, you know, the land of the Kush, which is below Mitzrayim, which is possibly Ethiopia, right?
Well, I'm saying maybe Kushim, Libya, etc. Kushim part of...
the west, yeah.
I'm saying, but was the Kushim part of Mitzrayim? So why were they fighting?
No, but the Africans, I guess, got together to be able to go fight against Babel. So they got Kush, Put, Ludim, all of them together. They were highly trained in war, and they all went together. Right? Yomahu, Lashem Elokim, Tzvakos. This is the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yom Nikama, a day of vengeance. We not going to be thrilled to take vengeance from his enemies, Uncle Kharif, right? And that's the idea to be consumed of this sword, Misava, Mirovsa, Midamam, and to be satisfied and drunk of all of their blood. There will be a slaughter to God in the land of the Northern Arapros, to the river of the Euphrates River. Now, why? Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu so mad at the Egyptians? Remember that the Egyptians had defeated Bnei Yisrael in battle. Remember when they were going through? This is the whole story. The Egyptians wanted to go through to the Euphrates River. You remember when that happened? By the times of King?
Yoyakim.
Not before Yoyakim. Yoshia.
Yoshia.
Remember, Yoshia was a great king and a big tzaddik, and he translated the pasuk that even in times of peace, warfare will not go through your land. So Paro Necho or Paro Chofro, whatever it was, sent a message to Yoshia and said, "Can I go through your land? I'm not going to fight you. Just want to go through your land." And Yoshia said, no, you don't deserve to come to my land because you believe in idols and gods. And he went out to go fight him, and he was killed in that war. And Paro said, listen, I have no battle with the Jews. I killed your king. I'm out. Okay, I just want to go up to the Euphrates River. They were on their way to the Euphrates, and they killed Yosia right there. Because they killed Yosia in that war, because they had done that, they became the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Yosia was such a tzaddik. And at that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, now I'm out for their blood. I'm sorry?
So why was he allowed to get killed?
Or why was
God asked a Navi what he should do at that moment? Possibly Yirmi. I don't know which Navi is going to be in charge at the time.
Why would you expect the king of Paro to go ask the Navi what he should do?
Not Paro.
Oh, Yosia.
Yeah, Yosia. Why should he ask us? Why should he have asked the Navi?
Everybody has to ask it. If you have one,
then why have a king?
Yeah, or just have a Navi be the king.
Then have a Navi be the king.
No. Navi doesn't waste his time. Listen, a king has to take care of a lot of stuff that a Navi doesn't have time for.
Right, like telling the Egyptians no. And sending them an email.
But
no, you know,
family. You should be asking you.
By the way, hold on. Oh, wait, I should say that better. We did have that. That was called the times of the Shoftim. I mean, Israel didn't want that. They wanted a guy who wasn't spending all of his time in the base measures. They wanted a guy who was going to lead them in war, judge simple cases, and take care of all that stuff.
How many of the Shoftim were sitting in the base measures all day?
Shemuel was the last ones. Shmuel and Avi, Eliyahu Cohen. Shimshon was a little bit different. But then again, he spent 40 years judging Klal Yisrael, and only the last 20 was when he fought the Plishtim. So 20 years, you'd assume he spent there because he became that great man.
Assumption. We don't know
what assumptions here.
I'm okay with making assumptions.
His greatness is
from
his
birth.
No, he was a Nazir. You got to remember what a Nazir is.
Right. So his greatness comes from the way he was born and the way he was. Hashem had selected him. We know that from last week's Torah.
Yeah. And he's an interesting character.
Selected him.
Right, so
then you'd assume.
Right, but there are people who I'm not saying about Shimshon.
No, but
there are people who aren't at all observant. There are Hashem has selected them to do some sort of role in this world. That
nonetheless, they were known as Shoftim, and by definition, yes. Shofet was a person who was a judge. In order to judge, you need to know DNA Torah. So therefore, yes, they must have spent time in the base measures. So you cannot be a guy who's a Shofet judging by the
Shofet.
First of all, yes, we have Midrashim about David HaMelech. Now it could be that that's hard to be able to say. That there's no question. Shlomo HaMelech also there was a Shofet. According to the laws of the Torah. So to a David HaMelech, who's a Shofet according to the laws of the Torah. Right. David HaMelech, we have Gemara after Gemara after Gemara about his halachos, etc., and right. Everything like that. So we have different things. And David HaMelech praised himself, brachos, avdalit, by the fact that he spent time with Shapir Vishulia to be Matar, the wives of their husbands. And he spent time doing the Torah.
A king can't.
A king doesn't have time to learn the same way a Navi does. Same way a Navi does. A Navi doesn't always. Can a king also be a Navi? Yes, it has happened. David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, Hizkiyo HaMelech, maybe even Yoshia in a way. Well, Yoshi, we don't see as a Navi. There were people who were very, very great people who followed Torah and were maybe even great Talmidim, etc. But do remember, all those people had a training in some way. Uh-huh. Meaning they learned at some point. Yoshi learned from the Kohen Gadol when he was being hidden from his mother, Asalia, the entire time. Yehoash was...
Did Shol have Nivuah?
No. Oh, that's right. Yeah, because Yoshi was the son of Amon.
Did Shol originally have Nivuah?
I'm sorry?
Didn't Shol have...
Shol HaMelech had some type of Nivuah in which they said, Agam Shol Benavim. They couldn't understand what
it was. There was something in the beginning.
Right? But again, a king has to be a person who's in charge as opposed to a Shofi Navi. So that's the reason why. Navim don't have time.
No, I understand. But every decision has to be checked against the guy who's learning all the time, and it kind of defeats the purpose.
It's not every...
No, it doesn't defeat the purpose. It's not.
It's the major... It's like the king
this is a major one. Battle, going to war, is a major one.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It was saying, can we go through your land? No.
That is, and he's going out to battle.
He's going to battle.
Went out to go battle Mitzrayim.
Oh, because the king
Yosef went out to war. Yeah, went to war against.
You're saying when Mitzrayim said no, we're coming through either way.
We're coming through either way. So Yosef went out to battle. He has to ask, what do I do?
Or do
that's what you have to ask. At least the room attunement. Yeah, for sure.
So maybe the original no response wasn't wrong.
Yeah, we just learned what Tzadok the whole problem is because he didn't ask. You know,
go ahead. The first decision.
I don't know how you want to define Chassidim.
Oh,
for sure, yeah, but that's what you needed for Nebuah. That was a prerequisite to Nebuah. Rambam mentioned one of the nine prerequisites. You need these Boderus. There's no way to do it otherwise. You can't get it otherwise. That's why Avraham Avinu couldn't get it in such a way. Avraham Avinu was given as a gift. That's the Chassam Sofer in his Pituche Kulsam right before the Chalice of Jews Yerodea. Yeah, what's up?
I don't know if those hands were tied. He wanted to go to... North.
Yeah, can you really blame Paro Necho for what was happening over here? I hear you. At the end of the day, the question is, what should he have done in that situation?
Hey, could he have gone up through...
No, I hear you. In other words, why is God going to Paro Necho? He did what he was supposed to do. He went up, he said, listen, I don't want to fight you, don't want to fight you, don't want to fight you. Yosher comes out to fight him. Paro Necho should have said, I could have gone. What do you want me to do?
Wait, why did he have to go
through
Israel?
I guess, in theory, he could have gone up through Jordan.
Yeah, go through Jordan.
Yeah, why not go through the Trans-Jordan
area? Babylonians already. You don't want to go close to the Babylonians.
No, they weren't there yet. This is all the way by Yoyakin. Oh, maybe they were. You're right. No, maybe they were.
Jordan's a desert.
The power had already...
So is Israel.
That's already gone.
Coming up to...
No. You can go through the Jordan, Trans-Jordan area. Go up to Trans-Jordan, to the Kinneret, through the Galilee, and then go up to Libya, to Lebanon, etc.
Where's Saudi Arabia?
No, that's desert. That's desert.
No, I know it's desert.
Straight to Babel. You'd have to go around. That's definitely true. But you can go around a little bit. You know, you go around. And anyway, you're going to be by the Jordan River. Just go on the Trans-Jordan. Regardless, what was this problem? Nonetheless, because he had killed him, that's that. So, Ali Gilad, go up to Gilad. Take all these medicines. Oh, Virgin of Egypt, right? All these people. In other words, it's almost like a derision. Egypt thought that they had all the drugs, the medications that were famous for these types of things and whatever it is. Like, you have all that stuff, right? Lashav, your base. For vain, you've taken all these things with fools. To Allah Ein Lach, because there was no cure for you. There's nothing you're going to be able to do. Shamu Gaim Kloneich. All the nations are going to hear about your Shem Tziv Chaseich, Malaret, and your cries will fill the land. Ki Gibor, Kashalu Yasa. For one mighty warrior has stumbled against the next mighty warrior. Nephlu Shem, and they both fell together. And the Egyptian warriors were tripping over each other and killing themselves rather than being killed by the enemy. So that's that for the first part. That's what's going to happen in your war when you go up there.
Now we're doing Asara.
Hadavar Asher Dibra Hashem El Yirmiyahu Anavi Lavo. Oh, when is this? When do we say this? This is Bo. Hadavar Asher Dibra Hashem El Yirmiyahu Anavi Lavo Nebuchadnezzar El Babel. That was at the time when he came to go attack the land of Egypt. Right, Nebuchadnezzar, this came regarding that. So this is now much later. This is when Nebuchadnezzar is now going to destroy, right, Mitzrayim. Hagidim B'Mitzrayim Ashmiu B'Migdol. Right, tell it over Mitzrayim. I think that's the main city, the capital city of Mitzrayim. Let it be known in Migdol, Ashmiu B'Nof, as well as in Nof, Sach Panchis. Imu Isyatev, they say, stand up, V'Halkin Lachim, prepare yourselves, Ki Akol Charis Yivacha, because the sword is about to destroy you completely. Madun Iskap HaBirecha, why have your mighty men been swept away? V'Homad, they're not going to stand, Ki Hashem HaDepo, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing everything. He's pushing them aside. That's the idea. All of them are breaking ranks, they're running away and everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is causing this fear. Here B'Koshu Kam Nafalish, he made them stumble and fall upon each other. Yishar Re'ehu, Bayomer Kuma Nashuba Lameinu, and they call up, arise, let's go back to our people, the place where we were born, Minecher V'Yonah, because the sword that's going over here. Apparently, there were a lot of people over here, there were soldiers from other nations that Mitzrayim had rented to be able to be inside this war, and they were all just like, why are we here? The Mitzrayim are not fighting anymore, and they're running away, we're out of here also, what are we going to fight for? Karusham Paro Melech Mitzrayim, they called out there, Paro King of Egypt, Sha'on, right? Then a lot of noise, they called out, Hevir Hamoed, but he missed the appointed time. And that's the idea. They said, you know, a lot of people were calling out loud that Paro has let them down, that Paro is whatever. Maybe he failed to show up in war himself, that Paro sort of like hid inside his temples, inside his pyramids, and letting everybody else fight for him. Chayeninu Melech Hashem said, by my life, says the king, Hashem Tzvakos Shemo, Ki Kisavr Baharim V'Kakam Bayam Yavo, just like Tavor among the mountains and Carmel in the sea, right, they're going to come. So that's the idea. Nobody took it seriously that the Egyptian defeat was going to be serious, that Babylonia was going to come inside. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm promising you that just like Tabor and Carmel were made unfit for the Torah to be brought by, that's what I think of Mitzrayim, that they're also unfit for anything to happen. Pasuk Yutas, Klei Gola Siwach, Yosef is Basra. And those who live in Egypt, furnish yourselves with the Kalim of Gullus. Kinof Lishamah, because Nof is going to be desolate to you. The Nitzam and Yosef is going to be burnt and uninhabited completely. Eglith Apia, Egypt is a beautiful calf. Mitzrayim Keretz Mitzaphon Baba. The devastation is going to come from the north and it's going to be totally destroyed. Egypt, who has not fought or been involved in war since the Jews left Egypt. So this has been over how many years? 480 years? 480 years since the Jews had left. Egypt had not been. They had been a power, but they stayed by themselves. They did not do anything. They still had paros and everything like that.
480 years.
Why? Oh, yeah, you're right. 850 years altogether. They had not been involved. We don't see them in any real wars. Here and there, there's a skirmish, but no real wars. They're not really involved. All of a sudden, the mercenaries that among them, they're like fattened calves. They're just like they're sitting and eating all day because they haven't really fought any wars. They turn their back and they run away together. They never stood. Because the day of misfortune, their time of punishment is there. And they rented all these warriors, right? And then they stood up at the gates and they eat and drink and be merry and whatever it is, because they never have to fight any wars. Then finally the time for war came and they're just like, No. Then they run. And then everything's all gone. Her sound is like a snake on the move, meaning they sneak away. And they just, you know, they do a little move to try to get away without anybody hearing. They marched with force, but they came after it with axes. Like those who are, you know, chopping with wood. They're going to cut down her whole forest, says God, because they are countless, the people that are coming. Are more than the locusts. There's no number to the amount of people that Nebuchadnezzar brings in. The whole daughter of Mitzrayim is ashamed, because they were given over to the hands of the northern people. Is in Pasuk Hey. I am going to remember Amon of No. Right? So this is their god, right? Amon, A-M-M-O-N in English, right? Of No. It's possible that that was Alexandria of Mitzrayim. It's a question how exactly you go. But either way, regardless, Val Paro, Val Mitzrayim, Val Ohel, all of its gods, Val Malachan, all of its kings, Val Paro, Val Potchimbo, and on Paro himself and all those who trust into it. So apparently it goes like this. Not only on this Paro, but also the next Paro, meaning the Pharaoh kingdom is now over. Now that Nebuchadnezzar destroyed all Mitzrayim, not only is Mitzrayim gone, but the Pharaohs are gone. There will be no more Pharaohs throughout Mitzrayim. There are no more Egypt. Do we know? I have no idea.
That's all
we
want to go through. Cleopatra and all that, that was way later.
When did they go up
in the
Greeks?
I don't know if it's a Pharaoh.
Find out.
She wasn't a Pharaoh, she was a queen.
This would have been, right. This would have been give or take, this would have been about 900 BC.
But you know what? It could be that it was a different dynasty. The Ptolemy dynasty.
A totally different dynasty.
There were Greeks, essentially, and they became pharaohs.
So around, we'd have to say around 1000 BC or 900 BC, around that time would be this time where we're saying that they didn't have any more. And also he says,
this is way later than 1000 BC.
So the question is who?
This is about 5 or 6.
Also says the Egyptian culture disappeared. When did they stop doing mummies? That's another question to ask. When were the mummies? Maybe it was a whole different culture. I mean, everything changed and everything was different. The same way that after Kriyas Yamsuf, their whole culture, everything changed.
Well, they were conquered by the Babylonians when Nebuchadnezzar took over, and then essentially, presumably the Persians took over, and then the Greeks took over, and the Greeks
divided
the kingdom after Alexander the Great died, and Egypt became a part of the Ptolemy Empire, and I think the pharaohs became from him.
All the pharaohs came from him. So the question is just what the status of the pharaohs were during that time. But he's saying, your paros are all gone. When it's not to be on the back now, I'm going to put them in the hands of those who want them. And then afterward, it will be inhabited like the days of old, says the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the idea behind it. It's no longer going to be. Don't be afraid, my servant. Don't be afraid, O Israel. Don't be dismayed. So now a little bit of, like, you know, solace for the Jews. I'm going to save you from a far away. And your children from the land of their captivity. Yaakov will return. There will be calm and serene, and there will be no fear. Notice Yaakov. Everybody see Yaakov in that pasuk? Yaakov is above. One of the five places in Tanakh where the extra above is added on to Yaakov's name. I'm with you. I'm going to destroy all the nations that I've brought you over there. I will not destroy you. Right? I will give you Yisurin so that you're judged. However, I will not totally destroy you, or not completely, utterly destroy you, taking you away. Okay, Tark Mem Zion, let's see if we can get over here. We have Asher Yadvar Hashem Yirmiyahu HaNavi El Plishim, B'Tarm Yakya Paro Zaza. Before Paro destroyed Gaza, right, Yirmiyahu HaNavi is going to prophesy, he prophesied to the Plishim about what's going to be, how they're going to go over here. Do you have anything so far, Dave?
I have things, there's like, because I don't, they're saying that, like, that I'm in the Persian era, there's like a one pharaoh, like in the Persian era, so I don't know if that's really the same thing.
One pharaoh, in other words, there weren't five son after son after son.
Right. That's what I'm trying to figure.
Maybe there was some end where it was there. Somebody just has to know Egyptian history.
A lot of eras.
Unfortunately, I mean, Egypt is, I can imagine they have a long history.
Last monarch was Nebo II, last native Cleopatra and Syrian.
When was that? Do you know what year?
Last monarch.
We'll go on for now. The waters are coming up.
360 to 342 BC. It's the 30th dynasty.
That was
I don't know if we called it. Was the third and last pharaoh of the 30th dynasty.
third and last pharaoh of the
30th dynasty.
So yeah, just, okay, so it could be there's so many dynasties.
Gosh, how do you
The waters are coming up from the north. It shouldn't be from the north. It's the wording is a little bit off. It's Hinemayim Olam Mitzafon. The waters are coming up not from the north, but rather to the people of the north from the south. It's really going to come from Egypt. But Yelachos Shotif, it's going to be a river, that a torrential river. These two words, Umloah, it's going to conquer all of the land in this, and everything in it. Yerub Yosheva, the city and everything in it. Zrako Adam Ehelu Kol Yosheva Aretz. Okay, the men will cry out, and all the people of the land are going to howl for what ends up happening. Nikol Shakas Parsos Abirab. Oh, that's why. That's why I went to the north. Because Egypt, that wanted to go further north, Egypt turned around and killed Gaza instead. So they actually came from the north, but they didn't. They should have came from the south. Nikol Shakas Parsos, at the sound of the stamping of the hooves, Abirab Merash Lurechbo, right?
There was not a, literally water either.
Abirab, his strong man. I'm sorry? No, not literally. Merash Lurechbo, from the noise of his chariots, Hamon Galgilav, all the wheels, Lohipnu Abuzal Banami Ritu Nadayim. The fathers wouldn't even look back at their children to save them because they were so weak. They couldn't even look back to be able to see what's going on there. Plishim did nothing to be able to help their kids. Alayom Abo, because of that day, Lishro Lakol Plishim, right, they pillaged, they took away all the stuff from the Plishim. Hakos Latzor, Latzidon, Kosari, they wiped out all of Tzor and all of Tzidon, right? Every remnant that they had, Kishon Hashem, Splishim, Sherite, Kator, right? Hashem plundered everything that was there, all the survivors of the island of Kator. Everything is going to be destroyed. I guess the island of Kator is somewhere in the Mediterranean Sea. Pasuk Hey, Baal Korchal Azza, there's going to be boldness upon Azza. Nidmasa Ashkelon, Ashkelon is going to become silent. She'eretz Imkom Admasaitis Godidi, and all the remnants of the valley, how long are you going to gash yourself? In other words, just run away, because you're all going to be destroyed and everything is going to be gone. Hoy Karav Lashem, you woe to the sword of God, at Analus Ishkoti, how long until you are quiet? Hey Osvi, stop already. Al Tarechi Ragi Vadomi, right? Calm yourself, right? Hey Osvi, gather back together. Al Tarech, don't keep going. Hey Ragi Vadomi, be still, calm yourself. Ech Tishkoti, right? How can it be quiet? Hashem Siva Lo Ashkelon, that Hashem is commanded to Ashkelon, Bel Chof Hayam, to the banks of the sea, in other words, the beach opposite the sea, Sham Yada, that's where all the things are going to happen, and that's that. So it's
possible there's an apocryphal tale that's a pseudo-historical Alexander romance, okay? It says basically that Alexander the Great descended from the last pharaoh.
From the last
pharaoh. His father was a pharaoh, and
his father was
Philip of Macedon. But this guy, Nectanebo,
when Alexander lived 360 BCE? Huh? 360 BC.
Yeah, but it says like this: that
is that when he lived?
Around there.
Yeah.
Around this time. So Nectanebo, this pharaoh, basically convinced Philip's wife, Olympias, that she should have a kid with him.
By the way, hold on. That makes sense. Now that we look at it, I'm off. It's not 1000 BC. It would have been 400 BC. Somewhere around there. Right? If the base measure was destroyed in 70, and we're dealing with 420 years, right? So 70 minus 420 would be 350. So it's 350 before the Common Era, the second base measure was built. 350 BCE. So Mitzrayim would have been destroyed around 360,
right,
375
right.
BCE.
That makes sense.
The dates don't add up, because if Alexander was 360 BCE and he saw that the Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim had been built way before.
No.
I'm not worried about the date being off by that.
Yeah, no.
There's a lot of weird stuff regarding the second base measure. I'm okay with the years being off by a few.
Alexander the Great was 336 to 323.
Oh, so that was the second base measure.
Right.
Yeah, and the last pharaohs would have been around 363. I can hear that. That actually makes a little bit of sense. And that's what I mean. No more pharaohs were after that time. That makes a lot of sense. All right, just very quickly on this last part, the man always says a question over here. It sounds like over here that Yirmiyah is davening, like, when will you be quiet, saying to the sword, like, just stop already. But Yirmiyah, we never see, has ever really davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the sword shouldn't be against the Jews. We don't really see him davening. But all of a sudden he's talking about the police, and he's like, oh, stop it. I can't handle it anymore. Like, all of a sudden he's going crazy and he's davening for them, not bad. So he understood, and it's an unbelievable answer. Das Sofim says it. It means like this: the afflictions that Bnei Yisrael undergo serve an aim of bringing them to do tshuva and to make them better. But by those who are not Jewish, there's no purpose other than to destroy them completely. So therefore, Yirmiyah said, the afflictions that the Jews are undergoing, at least make them better people, at least make them so whatever. But what you're doing is depletion. You're just destroying them for seemingly no reason. Why bother doing that? That's the davening that he's saying. Just don't destroy them. Let them survive. There's no need for all this death. Right? That's the idea behind it. But by the Jews, at least they can gain from it.
Why would Yirmiyah care if they destroy depletion?
He cares about people. The same way that anybody would. You don't want a nation to be destroyed. You care about people. I mean, don't answer this question if the answer is no. But you care about people that die by all these different places throughout the world, from all these earthquakes,
of course, all this,
whatever we do, right?
Our enemies, our invaders.
Not at the time. Not at the time.
So, meat means.